AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. On Twitter, hate speech is on the rise ever since Elon Musk took over. Musk says he believes in unrestricted discussions online, but CNET's Ian Schur tells us...
Even though Elon Musk says he is an extreme believer in free speech, he's been forced to deal with the reality that some of this stuff can actually lead to people being hurt.
He did suspend Kanye West, or Yee, this past week. All eyes are on Georgia as voters flock to the polls to cast their ballot early in the state's runoff election. President Biden thinks the record turnout could give Democrats an edge.
There's been a higher turnout in terms of turnout of any time at this stage of the game early in early voting.
Voters making their choice between Democratic incumbent Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker. The election is Tuesday. A very positive November jobs report showed the markets remain strong. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with details.
The latest data from the Department of Labor shows the economy added a better than expected 263,000 jobs in November. The strong report means the Federal Reserve will likely raise interest rates again.
A man's been charged with murder for killing Migos rapper Takeoff. KHOU-TV's Matt Dougherty with the latest on the arrest of Patrick Xavier Clark.
Police say Clark was taken into custody without incident. At a news conference, police wouldn't give many details about the case or what led them to suspect Clark was the rapper's killer. HPD Chief Troy Finner said Takeoff was not the intended target outside of the downtown bowling alley that night.
Definitely wrong place at the wrong time.
An emotional vigil was held last night for the four Idaho students killed in their apartment last month. Family of the victims spoke.
We hope this community can get strong and heal.
Police still don't know who did it. Talks just wrapped up in Uruguay, where UN leaders are working on a global treaty to end plastic pollution. BBC correspondent Danielle Yawayetska.
EU members and Switzerland argue efforts to tackle pollution should include mandatory cuts to plastic production. The US and Saudi Arabia, home to the top petrochemical and plastics companies, say the target should be voluntary and country-led.
You ready for the World Cup? Yeah, I'm going a little bit old school there, but who doesn't love an underdog story? While the Netherlands are favored to win the match against the U.S. today, defender Walker Zimmerman says...
We've been the underdogs before. I think it's kind of what has made our team so special.
The knockout round begins this morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Go, U.S. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building at end of the year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 18. Winds out of the west 10 to 20 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 10 above tonight. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow, 32. Mid-30s Monday with a chance for snow. Turning much cooler Tuesday with highs in the mid-20s. Snow continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 17.
WFHR weather is sponsored by Hartle Monuments, still at 1915 Baker Drive, Wisconsin Rapids. The monument you create will be remembered by family and friends for years to come. Hartle Monuments will make it special. Let our experience show. Hartle Monuments, since 1901.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, high-tech and performance camel wear at a price you can afford. Huntworthgear.com. And by Ducks Unlimited, the world's leader in wetlands conservation, now a proud sponsor of Outdoors Radio and always a supporter of duck hunters everywhere. Ducks.org. I'm Dan Small. Today, Jim Bobbiash announces December events and specials at the Range of Richfield. John Steigerwald offers advice for the last month of grouse season. And Asha Torbeck shares an incredible deer hunting story. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. And I have not heard that Mike Hupe has paid out that $25,000 reward, so I think it's still out there. If you know of a homicide case or have a tip to an unsolved homicide case and it leads to a conviction, check out the Milwaukee Crime Stoppers website. That's MilwaukeeCrimeStoppers.com. The phone number is there if you have a tip. Well, joining me once again from Wisconsin Rapids, Jeff Kelm.
Hey, Dan.
Well, Jeff, at deer season, the rifle part of it is over, at least the buck part of it's over. Did you go out again?
I got a chance to get out and do a little bit of muzzleloader season, but you know, I've got all my buck tags filled for both the archery and the gun season. So I'm after some does, and we've got some other opportunities with the antlerless season coming up, and then the holiday hunt as well. So my son has already asked to, you know, when's the next time we can go sit in the blind and get the gun out. So we're going to get a chance to do it. Muzzleloader season, I wasn't going to have him sit behind the muzzleloader. That 50 cal kicks just a little more than his 243.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to surprise him with that one, because we have not had him shoot that one before.
Yeah, and that takes a little bit of reflex action too, because you've got to hold steady. Even with an inline, a modern muzzleloader that you shoot and that I shoot, it's not pow, it's kapow, you know, and if you move between the ka and the pow, you may throw your shot off. So
yep, absolutely.
So he didn't get enough then on after his successful hunt up in Douglas County. He's still basking in that glow, but wants more.
he's really been excited about it, and you know, I'm excited to take him. I didn't know how this is going to be. You know, you and I talked a while back, and I think we talked around turkey hunting season. And he wasn't quite ready. We had him shoot his 410. He wasn't comfortable, and we didn't have him go. And then throughout the late summer, we had him starting to shoot the 243, and he seemed more comfortable. Once I put, you know, the big heavy coat on him and things like that, he was no longer worried about any kind of recoil or anything. And now he's, you know, he's got that training down, in the sense of he knows what his target looks like and the acquisition of that. He knows what it's supposed to look like when he pulls that trigger. And so I think now he can just kind of sit and sit in that excitement of, hey, I'm doing something with dad. I'm harvesting animals. We're utilizing these animals at home. This has been, you know, a fun experience. So I think that's where we're at with it. And I kind of hope that's what happens as we, you know, go into the spring and we do some turkey hunting again as well.
Yeah, I suspect it will. And his friends at school, I would imagine, were impressed.
Oh yeah, they were, and he's been handing out jerky. We made jerky, and to the point where it's become a problem. The teacher contacted us. She said, you know, he's not eating it much of it. He's kind of dishing it out to everybody else, and is becoming a distraction. So you may want to just leave the jerky at home.
Yeah, well, it's nice that he wants to share the wealth of his harvest. Sure. That's great. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I did not hunt the last weekend of deer season, despite the nice weather. And, you know, I had a lot of chores around the house, got some firewood in, cleaned up around the farm, and got another trailer load of firewood with the Flow Cargo Max. It handles it very nicely. And, you know, my Explorer is still in the body shop, so I'm taking advantage of the Toyota Tacoma that the insurance company provided while my truck's in the shop. And I think I'll have it back by the end of this weekend or early next week at any rate. And then I'm going to go back up to Bayfield, I think, for the tail end of the muzzleloader season and the four-day antlerless hunt and see if I can't put some venison in the freezer to accompany that roadkill that I got.
Mm-hmm.
And our videographer, Dave Roll, shot a buck and a doe Saturday afternoon about 30 seconds apart down at a friend's place in Crawford County. And in that really nice weather, he was sitting out on a chair that his friend had salvaged from the recycling center, which is a fancy word for dump. And, you know, we sometimes take home not as much as we take there, but he salvaged this nice chair, cleaned it up, leaned it against a tree, and Dave sat in that chair, and I don't know how many deer, six or eight does, and this one buck came out, and he dropped a buck and a doe and gave me a call. And so we sampled both of them for the new pneumonia test that the DNR is doing on deer here in the Southwest. And then we took them to Matt Tainter, the taxidermist in Westby, for CWD testing. So we're going to get the results on that. And, of course, we videoed it for next year's Deer Hunt Wisconsin show. So we're getting some things in the can already. Well, I did not see a deer during the gun season, but preliminary totals that I've seen so far, it's more than 200,000 deer were taken, and another 100,000 or so archery and crossbow deer so far. So 300,000 deer, we've hit that mark again this year, and harvest totals are up 14% over last year. So fewer hunters, more deer. I guess there are plenty of them out there.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a perfect storm. You know, it was cold, but those that stuck it out saw some movement. We had that earlier, you know, start date, so maybe a little bit of rut activity, you know. And I think hunters are, in general, maybe not everybody, but are getting a little smarter on the way they hunt. And I think that's why we start to see some of these buck numbers up and things like that. They're just, they're approaching things a little different than, you know, Grandpa used to do.
Yeah, and if there are fewer hunters out there, one thing that tells me is that the serious hunters are probably among those fewer hunters who are out there. So experienced and serious hunters are the ones who often, not always, often get better shots at deer and bring home more venison.
Mm-hmm.
And during the season, unfortunately, there were 8 shooting incidents, 1 fatal. And one thing I noticed, Jeff, half of them, once again, were self-inflicted. I don't know how many times people have to refresh the rules, but it certainly doesn't help, or doesn't hurt, rather, to remind yourself of those 4 safety rules of gun handling, and you wouldn't have those accidents.
Yeah, I'm always quite impressed by the way my son and some of the younger generation handles their firearms most of the time. They're kind of, you know, they're a little fresher out of training, whether it be mentor or the, you know, or hunter safety, but there does seem to be a lapse in judgment at times through people, and that's what this is. They're completely preventable accidents, every single one of them. Absolutely. Every one of them broke a rule in the firearm safety realm that could have been prevented.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we will talk about that again, I'm sure, as the seasons continue. Hopefully there won't be any more shooting incidents, and hopefully people get out and enjoy the muzzleloader, what's left of it, in the 4-day and the holiday season, and get some more venison. Well, coming up, Range of Richfield President Jim Bobby Ash tells us what's in store at the range this month. RGS Forest Conservation Director John Steigerwald has some advice for late-season grouse hunting. And you may have heard about this crazy deer hunting story with a tall, long-legged bird involved. Well, Asher Torbeck was the hunter, and he shares that story with us also coming up. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Have more success on the ice with the LiveScope Plus Ice Fishing Bundle LI from Garmin. Drill fewer holes, catch more fish. This portable live sonar bundle comes with the LiveScope Plus system, EchoMap UHD 93SV display, and a lithium battery, all packaged in a case, making hole hopping a breeze. LiveScope Plus helps you find more fish with improved resolution, reduced noise, clearer images, and better target separation. Fill your freezer with fillets with help from Garmin. Visit Garmin.com or shop your local Garmin dealer today.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Escanaba, and Houghton. We at Remy Battery Company want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the past 90-plus years and your continued support of our local, family-owned company. Stop in and see the expertise of over 9 decades of battery knowledge and customer service. Let us take care of the batteries for all of your needs, from power tools to sump pumps and ATVs to hunting decoys, even down to the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or waters. Don't forget to ask your sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. The Ruffed Grouse and American Woodcock Societies are celebrating 60 years of habitat improvement for grouse, woodcock, and other young forest wildlife. You can learn more at roughgrousesociety.org. And joining us for one more conversation this year is John Steigerwald. He's the Great Lakes and Upper Midwest Forest Conservation Director for RGS and AWS. And John, welcome back, and thanks for joining us.
Good to be back, Dan.
Folks know we record this early, and in fact, we're recording today on Giving Tuesday, and you folks have a message for us, don't you?
Yeah, that's right, Dan. Just wanted to plug that today, Giving Tuesday, kicks off a season of giving, you know, going into the end of the year, the holiday season. And just wanted to put in a quick plug that if you support forest conservation, forest health, and forest wildlife, an organization like Rough Grouse Society is a great organization to think about giving on Giving Tuesday and in the season of giving going into the end of the year. Surely would appreciate the support to advocate and create healthy and abundant forest and wildlife habitat and breeds.
It certainly is a good cause. As you know, I've been a member for many years, and I renew my membership annually. And there is an event coming up next week. Tell us about that. In Eau Claire, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, one of the many things that RGS does is, you know, we're a member nonprofit organization with chapters in a lot of local communities. And one of our local chapters, the Chippewa Valley chapter, is hosting the Banff Film Festival in Eau Claire at the Pablo Center on December 5th and 6th. It's a wonderful event I've attended in years past. It's a film festival geared toward short films related to outdoors, outdoor adventures, and things like skiing, rock climbing, wildlife viewing. And a few years ago, it was actually a film that highlighted the Driftless region of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think I've seen that film. So that is next week, and is there information on the RGS website?
There is. So if you go to our RGS website, you'll find many tabs at the top of the page. Underneath the engagement tab, you can go to events and find it on the calendar and learn more about it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, let's talk about hunting now. The grouse season is still going on. It ends very soon, December 8th, in the southern zone. But the northern zone, it goes through January 9th. And before we talk about winter hunting or late season hunting, how's it been so far for you and for others you've talked to?
It's been a bit of a different season. I should add that I did unfortunately miss out on a good portion of my season due to being up sick with COVID.
Oh.
It did happen. But I did manage to rescue my season and talking to many of our members and other colleagues of mine about this season. It was just relatively tricky because we had, it seemed like, an early cold spell going into the season, which turned into a quick warm-up. And we had one day here in Spooner, Wisconsin, in the lower 70s in early November. So it seemed like there was just really difficult weather conditions to pin down. Of course, getting your dogs out in that type of heat is very, very difficult. You can't run your dogs for very long in that type of heat. And it made those conditions a little bit harder. Leaves seemed to have held on to the trees a lot longer into the season, and that made, of course, the shooting conditions a lot harder. It was overall a little bit tougher season, but the reports have been fairly good as far as the number of birds that people are seeing and shooting. So it did seem like for a while when conditions dried up, birds were bunching together, a common theme that I heard talking to many of our members and staff.
So there are some birds left, and for folks who want to hunt them this time of year, what advice have you got?
Rough grouse utilize very diverse habitat throughout the year. They'll use young forests, they'll use mid-aged forests, they'll use older forests, depending upon the different life stages. And that's what makes them such a great advocate for healthy forest management, diverse forest management, because of that habitat usage. And this time of year, really a lot of those birds are moving out of those younger forests that people really see them in October month, the peak of the rough grouse hunting season. And you actually see the rough grouse start to move into mid-aged forests, a lot of them with an understory shrub layer, hazelnut, hazelbrush, ironwood.
Sure.
Those type of species where really the rough grouse are moving from feeding off of herbs, forbs, grasses, seeds, insects, and really moving into feeding on the buds and catkins of different tree and shrub species. So this is where you tend to see individuals coalescing in aspen canopies, feeding off aspen buds, getting those crops filled full of aspen buds and catkins from hazelbrush, tag alder, birch, and other associated species. But there's also something to be said looking for birds and stands that have conifer components. Of course, we're not yet into the good snow roosting habitat condition where rough grouse will dive into about a foot of snow and tuck themselves in and roost under the snow. So birds are seeking out those balsam spruce trees that have low-hanging branches going to the ground. Find those areas where they can kind of hide and blend in, because if you know anything about rough grouse, they're gray phase, they're red phase, they're brown. They kind of stick out like a sore thumb on a white background.
Yep.
So you get a lot of birds seeking out those really diverse stands that have that conifer component in them, as well as areas where you might have fallen trees, tipped up trees where they can tuck themselves underneath a dead tree or busted top of a tree laying on the ground.
All right, good advice. Now, some people say we really shouldn't be hunting them in winter because the birds that have made it this far are our breeding stock for next year. What are your thoughts on that?
That's part of the debate and the science of compensatory and additive mortality. Part of the debate going into the rough grouse management plan that was drafted in 2020 or approved in 2020 for the state of Wisconsin, and they're really looking at the season length in our state. And really what we acknowledged and considered after surveying a lot of rough grouse hunters is really realizing that there are so few people that kind of brave the cold, snowy conditions of December, January, that there's not really a whole lot of additive mortality that's going on by those late season hunters. For most people, it's you got your dog kind of really worked up all season, really fit in good health and condition, and a lot of those dogs kind of get antsy, so a lot of folks just want to kind of get out, run off some of that steam and energy with their dogs, and they come across the bird, they come across the bird. For most people, you've gotten your birds this late season. Most hunters, it's more about the other passions of the sport at this time than getting out there and killing birds.
All right, so if folks have dogs and are grouse hunters, a little winter hunting is not going to hurt anything but the individual grouse that you might be lucky enough to bag. John, thanks so much. Good luck to you. I know you're going to be hunting the rest of this season, and we hope you have a good holiday season. We hope folks pay attention to the message we mentioned at the beginning of this conversation about giving to organizations like the Rough Grouse Society and that event coming up next week in Eau Claire. All that's on the website. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
John Steigerwald, Great Lakes and Upper Midwest Forest Conservation Director for Ruffed Grouse and American Woodcock Societies. And you can learn more about everything we've talked about at ruffedgrousesociety.org. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. The Range of Richfield is your ultimate shooting experience. Located on Helson Drive, just north of the Richfield Cabela's store at the split of Highways 41 and 45, and on the web at therangewi.com. And joining us for our monthly chat about what's happening at the range is Range of Richfield President Jim Bobiash. Well, Jim, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Dan. Happy to be back, number one. Number two, I hope you and your family had a great Thanksgiving.
We did, and you as well?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. My son made two turkeys on his smoker, and it was just outstanding.
Smoked turkey?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. And how was November before we jump into December?
November was great. Our Black Friday weekend was spectacular. I was just amazed at the number of people we had coming in, which was wonderful. I think everybody had a really great time. And I think the folks that were leaving were walking away with some really special deals. I was very pleased on the way the whole thing worked.
Well, great. I'm glad that worked out. I'm glad you had a lot of people come in. So what's going on? You got classes going on in December, right?
We do. We have some. We don't have as many as we normally do because of just the holidays. We will be ramping up classes right after the first of the year. We'll have our full slate of classes. Keep an eye out for it. But right now we've got a Wisconsin Concealed Carry course, which is December 11th, and then also one on December 27th. Basically, you know, that's about all we have right now, just because of the holiday getting in between here, and people just are too busy to focus on classes. So, again, right after the first of the year, we'll be back in full force.
Well, you have some competition, though, going on, right?
Oh, yeah. Our IDPA matches are going great. These are conducted by Badger IDPA. And these matches fill up quickly, and the folks are having a great time. I think there's a maximum of 40, and we hit that every time we do this, which is really great. You know, if you're interested, you can call or check our website for future matches. And actually, they're having their annual Christmas party here on December 10th. So we're looking forward to letting them shoot and have a good time enjoying some good food.
Good. Well, how about safes? You got safes?
Yeah, this is a great time to buy a safe. And Liberty is the best built safes on the planet. We just received a truckload of these beauties, and they're priced to sell. We have partnered with Liberty to offer some exciting rebates through the end of the year. So if you're thinking about buying a safe, now is the time. We have a great selection, and we have most of them in stock. So take advantage of this special pricing. There's a chance that we could have that safe that you want in your house by Christmas.
Oh, nice.
So come on and take a look, yeah.
Well, you got some specials going on this month?
We do. Super Saturday and Sunday is December 17th and 18th. And we'll be offering some super specials on many of our popular products. Buy a gun and get a free gold range card. Now, that's good for $100 worth of range time. So it's getting $100 off when you buy a gun.
Wow.
All of our holsters and Next belts will be 25% off. Mags, 15% off. Concealed carry purses, 25% off. So, and don't forget about our gift cards. They're a great option for those who have everything or are difficult to buy for.
Yeah, good.
We're also get 10% off your new or renewal membership when paid in full. We're also offering 25% off all Benchmade knives. If you purchase a $100 gift card, you'll get a free $10 gift card as a special bonus. And then we've got our super tax savings ammo sale. For those 2 days, you're going to be able to buy 5 rounds of 9mm ammo for $100, including sales tax, and a $25 gift card. Now that's a good deal.
Wow, 5 boxes or 5 rounds?
5 boxes.
5 boxes, okay. So that's 100 rounds, right? Or are there 50 in a box?
There's 50 in a box.
Oh, man, so that's a deal.
250 rounds. Yeah, it is. It's outstanding. So come on and take advantage of it.
Fantastic. Well, and with Black Friday weekend and a lot of people coming in there, have you got anything left to sell us?
Oh, yeah. We've been planning for this. So our shelves have been restocked, anticipating all of your shopping needs. We even have set up a few bargain tables with various items at very special prices that will be available between now and Christmas.
Well, good. Speaking of Christmas, I would imagine that you're going to have some days off during the holiday season, right?
We will be closed on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to spend time with family. Come on in before that, and we can help you out. And after Christmas, if you got any money that came in and it's burning a hole in your pocket, we'll have deals still running, so come on in.
Now, this is your ninth year you've already started, right?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? 9 years. And we're hoping to make this year bigger and better than ever. We have committed to make the range of Richfield your ultimate shooting experience.
Well, Jim, we hope you have a good Christmas and a good holiday there and a wonderful new year. We'll talk to you again around the first of the year, but till then, happy holiday season.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And from all of us here at the range, we'd like to thank all of our members, guests, friends, for a great year, and wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a healthy, happy New Year.
All right. Well, Jim, we will talk to you again in about a month, so thanks so much.
Look forward to it, Dan. Thank you.
You bet. Jim Bobiash is the president of the Range of Richfield. The Range of Richfield is your ultimate shooting experience. They're located on Helson Drive, just north of the Richfield Cabela's store, where Highways 41 and 45 divide, and you can find them as well on the web at therangewi.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Have more success on the ice with the LiveScope Plus Ice Fishing Bundle LI from Garmin. Drill fewer holes, catch more fish. This portable live sonar bundle comes with the LiveScope Plus system, EchoMap UHD 93SV display, and a lithium battery. All packaged in a case, making hole hopping a breeze. LiveScope Plus helps you find more fish with improved resolution, reduced noise, clearer images, and better target separation. Fill your freezer with fillets with help from Garmin. Visit Garmin.com or shop your local Garmin dealer today.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. When you connect with an expert, getting coverage is easy and our help is free. We find the best deals, whether it's from healthcare.gov or state coverage like BadgerCare. And you can reach us in person, phone, text, or online. Honestly, it's like chatting with a friend who knows everything about health insurance. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Last spring, you chose hardworking seed, but did it work as hard as you did? At NK Seeds, we know that all the time, all the effort, comes down to this. All that matters now is yield and how the seed performed on your acre. Because you can't fake performance, and bushels don't lie. Visit nkseeds.com/harvest.
If you're an area employer, the next 30 seconds can be key to your growth and success. On-the-job training programs are available right now to assist with selection and cost to that new employee your business needs. Reimbursement for training costs, customized training plans to fit your needs, and continuous support when you need it. You hire, you train, we help pay. The first step is to contact us. Call the Wisconsin Rapids Job Center at 715-422-5000 and ask about on-the-job training programs for area employers. We'll help you build the workforce you need.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. You know, every deer season, you hear some pretty remarkable stories. Strange things happen when there's 500,000 people out in the woods. And joining us now from DeForest is a hunter who has a story that'll be pretty hard to top, I think. You may have heard this story or read about it or seen the video on Facebook. His name is Asher Torbeck. And Asher, welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network, and thanks for joining us. You bet. Your story is pretty amazing, so let's take it from the top. Where were you hunting? Up north somewhere?
By O'Connell County, Gillett. So I've been hunting up there for, I don't know, 20 years probably. Same area for probably the last decade or so. So my uncle owns Apple Creek Whitetails, which is right up in that area, and we hunt some of the 40s that he was buying up over the years. So I actually go along the fence line to get back into my stand, and it comes off a highway, and I follow it all the way into the woods. Well, opening day, probably about 10 a.m. or so, I said dark to dark on opening day, and I look over and I can actually see the fence for the high fence deer farm that's behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of cool. I mean, I can see huge bucks inside that I can't shoot, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I see stuff over there all the time, so I see something walking, and so I bring the binos up and I'm looking over there. I couldn't quite see exactly what it was, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure that had two legs. Whatever it was, this big body with two legs. So I didn't think a whole lot much more of it, because every once in a while I'll see stuff in there that's kind of goofy. Like, he had donkeys for a while that were keeping coyotes out of the pen and things like that. So I've seen some weird stuff over there, and I just didn't think a whole lot of it. About 5 hours later, something's coming through the brush at me, and I'm like, all right, here we go. You know, I was seeing deer all day. And where I hunt, it's pretty thick marsh, so you kind of hear them, and then all of a sudden they pop out, and you kind of got to be ready. So, well, then it pops out, and I'm like, what in the world is that?
Okay.
That is an emu. What in the world is an emu doing out here? Just kind of milling around, looking around, and I'm looking at your binos at first to confirm what I was seeing, and I'm like, what in the world? So it walks around for a bit, and then it kind of spots me. I don't know a whole lot about emus, but they must see way better than deer do, because it kind of me up there, and I walked over, went right underneath my stand, and was looking up at me, walking around my stand, looking at me.
He was wondering, or it was wondering, what you were, about the same way you were wondering what it was, huh?
Yep. That's exactly right. Or it's like, what is this person doing up in a tree?
Yeah.
what are you doing up there? So then it mills around for a little bit, and I was texting with the farm manager, and I'm like, hey, do you guys have an emu that escaped or something? And he's like, no, I don't know what that is. Mm. And it kind of walks off, and it was actually walking off in the direction of my uncle, so I sent him a text too. I'm like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but there's an emu walking around out here. He never saw it. I was taking some pictures of it and stuff because I'm like, no one's going to believe this. I had an emu walk right up to me. I didn't see it the rest of the night. I went back to the deer shack. I was telling the story and showing some pictures, and we're all laughing. I'm like, what in the world is that? So then we ended up going out for dinner and stuff. And while we were out in town, some of the locals were like, yeah, up down the road a little ways, there was some emus that escaped. And I think there was four total, but one of them never really left. Two of them got away and got captured. Within a couple of days or a day or so. But the other one had been out there for over a week, and they didn't know where it was. Somebody gave me they screenshotted this Facebook post for the emu owner, and I ended up getting that, and just going to keep it in case I saw the emu again. So then the next afternoon, I went to that same area, but I went to a different stand about 70 yards or so further in, and as I'm walking out there, I see this dark figure underneath my stand, like literally right underneath the tree I was going to, which was a different tree.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, holy cow, it's just the emu again, still standing there looking around. So I kind of walk over in its direction. It walks off probably 15 yards or so. And I always carry extra clothes up there. And I was putting some extra clothes on, and the emu was standing right there about 15 yards away, maybe just kind of watching me the whole time. So then I climb up my stand, and it was walking around within like 10, 15 yards of my tree for a couple hours.
Oh, boy.
Just kind of walking around, looking around. Kept looking up at me, and it was just kind of milling around, eating little berries on the trees and stuff. But after a while, it went about 10 yards away, and it laid down, and then it curled its head in, so it just looked like a lump of feathers laying on the ground. So I'm like, okay, whatever, just kind of watching it and continuing to hunt. Well, I hadn't seen any deer, and I was actually thinking, like, I wonder if deer can smell it, or if they're nervous around it, or if they can see it, or what, because I hadn't seen any deer with it around. Well, the thing slept for probably maybe 30, 40 minutes, and then it's just getting to be about 4 o'clock now, and all of a sudden I hear something coming through the brush, and I'm watching, and here's a deer. I could see the deer body coming through. This time it had 4 legs, so I knew what it was. So it's milling around, and it's coming right at me, and there's a couple trails that I sit on there, and it's on one of those trails. So it's walking along. Well, it goes right in the direction of the emu. It's laying now 10 yards from my tree sleeping, and it's just walking in nice and slow, kind of looking around, and I noticed there was a little 6-point buck. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be interesting. It's walking right at this sleeping emu. We'll see what happens. So it's coming in. Well, it gets about probably 15 yards away from the emu sleeping, and all of a sudden the emu gets startled, and it jumps up to its feet, and all of a sudden there's this 6-foot bird standing there looking at the deer. The deer stops in his tracks, and he's looking. I'm like, what in the world? That's the biggest turkey I've ever seen
right.
in my life. They're kind of bobbing their heads back and forth and looking at each other for probably 10 minutes. I was just watching the whole thing. Like, this is funny. They're just looking like, what are you? What in the world? And I don't think the deer or the emu knew what to do next. So then after about 10 minutes, the buck turns sideways, and he starts kind of walking off a little bit. He's looking back at the emu like, what in the world is that? So I'm like, well, who in the world can say that they had an emu friend that had it run a distraction for them while they shot a buck?
Yeah.
Well, gun hunting. So I'm like, I'm going to take this buck. So I end up shooting him. He runs off probably 50 yards, and I saw him crash. I was watching him and everything. Well, the whole time I'm watching him, because after, you know, the follow through on a shot, right, I'm watching to see where he goes down. Then I thought, oh, man, I bet you I scared the crap out of that emu.
Yeah.
So I look over to see if it's still there. Sure enough, it moved maybe 10 feet or so, but it was still standing right there looking up at me. Probably like, what did you do to that thing? You know,
are you going to shoot me?
Yeah, all right. It was kind of funny. So then I climb down the tree, and I walk over to where I shot, and I get on blood, and I knew where it was, but I was just following the blood trail. And as I'm following along, I get to a certain point, probably 30 yards into the track, and I turn around and look, and the emu's maybe 10 yards behind me, walking right along with me.
Oh, boy.
So just follow me around. So I walk over, get to the buck, I position him, and I start, continue to harvest. I got him out and stuff. And the entire time, the emu was standing there about 10 yards away, but never left, never did anything, just kind of stood there. Well, by the time I was done, it was dark outside. So I go to drag the deer out of there, and I
lost track of where the emu was, but I don't know. I have a suspicion that based on what happens the next day, that it was following me around.
Uh-huh.
It followed me maybe back. So get back. By then, I had been texting with the owner of the emu, like, hey, I know where it is. I can take you back there the next day. And she was trying to line up a person with a tranquilizer gun, because that's how they recovered the other two. So we're texting that night, and I said, I'm going to go back to that same stand in the morning. So the next morning, I get up, go out, hunt, and I wasn't seeing anything. And about, I was actually kind of wondering if it wandered off or what, and I didn't know what to think. But at about quarter after eight, all of a sudden, the body's coming through the brush again. I could tell right away it was the emu. I walked right directly to the same tree that I was in.
Oh, boy.
Walked right up to the ladder and looked up at me.
Yeah.
Like, checking if I was there. So I started sending text messages to the owner, letting her know where it's at and stuff. And we were trying to come up with a plan to see if they can get somebody with a tranquilizer or whatever lined up. So I hunted till about 10, climbed on the tree. And then I had brought some snacks and stuff, like bread and stuff for the emu that don't work, so I give to her. Because I assume she was hungry. I'm sure that's why she's following me around. I used the bread and kind of worked my way in slowly. And eventually the emu let me get right up to her within about, you know, 2-3 feet. So I started taking pictures all along. I was taking pictures of the emu looking up at me and a video of it walking through the woods. And then as I got up there, I ended up taking a selfie with it.
Yeah.
Standing right next to it.
Yeah.
So I stood by it for a little while trying to wait and hear back from the owner. Well, I found out later that she was in Minnesota and was in an area where she didn't have very good reception on her phone, so she wasn't getting my texts and calls. I didn't know what to do, so I started walking back to my truck. Well, as I'm walking back to my truck, the emu was following me the whole way. So I get back to my truck, I sit down on my tailgate, and I'm kind of waiting to hear back. The emu, I walked right along the fence line for that deer farm, and the emu was kind of walking back and forth along the fence. And after a while, I'm like, well, it's going the direction I need to go. I'll just drive behind it and kind of follow it while I'm waiting to hear back. This thing's probably 50 yards away from me at this point. I start the truck, and it turns and looks at me, and it starts sprinting. And I don't know if you ever watched an emu run. So now this emu is sprinting toward me, head waving around in the air, and it runs right up to my, about 10 feet from my driver's door, and is looking at me. So I turn my truck off, and I got out, and I'm like, well, clearly you want to get out of here or something. You want to be around a human, so let me try to figure out what we're going to do here. So I waited a little bit longer, and then eventually I'm like, well, maybe, and I thought about walking out, like maybe she'll just follow me. I'll walk out, but it's like 2 miles.
Mm.
So I'm like, well, maybe she'll follow my truck. So I start my truck up again. I start driving along, and sure enough, she starts following me. So I was taking videos of that, too. I'm driving along through the woods next to this fence, and the emu is kind of dawdling behind me. They walk a little slow. Every once in a while, I would get far enough away where she'd panic a little bit, and she'd come running, and they catch up to me. And the fence turns a couple times, so I actually had to stop because she would kind of panic and get to a point where she could see me through the fence because there's a corner.
Yeah.
But she couldn't figure out how to get to me.
Oh.
I'd have to get out of my truck and walk back to the corner, or have her follow me around the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
Truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I could tell she was kind of panicked. She's walking back and forth. Finally get here back from the owner. Until that's when she tells me she's out of town with bad reception. And I'm like, well, do you have anybody else can come over here? I'm right here. I dropped a pin on a map and sent it to him. And she sent her brother over. Well, the brother gets there. He's like, I don't really know a whole lot about emus either, but she told me that if you put a sock over their head, that they go docile, and we should be able to pick it up then and get it in the van.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Yeah, right. I watch wildlife videos and stuff, and you see how they roll an animal over on its back or something that goes docile or, you know,
yep,
goes to sleep or whatever. So that's a probable story. Probably is correct. He tries to walk up to it. It wouldn't let him get within 15 yards. He kept running away, and then I would walk back and run away. So I'm like, well, let me try.
She knows me better, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, right. She clearly knows I'm not going to hurt her or something because she's been around me for 3 days. So I walk up to her, take my time, go slow, and I finally get up to her, and I start petting her on the neck and kind of getting her comfortable with me. And I'm holding this tube sock the guy gave me, and I'm like, how in the world am I going to get this tube sock over this emu's head?
Right.
And, like, they have huge legs and a huge beak, and I'm like, I hope this thing doesn't peck me or kick me. So I was wearing my orange beanie, and I'm like, I bet a beanie hat would be a lot easier to get over this emu's head because, you know, I can just plop it on there, and I'll just kind of pin the hat on her head, and hopefully she goes docile, and I'll get her out of here. So I put my beanie on the emu's head, and as soon as I did that, she pulls away, and I let go because I was told she'd go docile. Well, then she starts flailing about like an escape fire hose.
Oh, boy.
All over the place, and not real happy with what I just did. So the hat goes flying off, and then I try to figure out another plan. I'm walking in again. I finally get up to her, and I'm holding the tube sock, and I'm like, well, I'm going to have to give it a shot here. So I'm kind of working the tube sock up near her her face and her beak and kind of getting her comfortable. I'm petting her, and I'm like, you know, now's the time, so I got to go. So I start working it over her beak. She pulls away a little bit, but I was able to kind of hold her by the head and slip this tube sock over her head. Well, I didn't want to hurt the animal. I was trying not to hurt it, so I let go. Well, then she starts whipping all over the place. Same thing, like an escape fire.
Yeah.
I look over at the brother, and I'm like, I thought she was supposed to go docile. And he's like, I thought so too, man. I don't know anything about you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, so we're watching this thing just flailing about, and I'm like, it's either going to hit it, it's right by the fence, I'm like, it's going to hit its head on the fence, or it's going to run off in the worst case, runs off into the woods, and now has a tube sock over its head.
Yeah, right.
So I look at him, I'm like, we got to go hands-on with this thing. And I was telling him, like, I'm sure all the power's in its legs. So the thing is all legs, its body and legs, you know. So I'm like, we got to get it off its feet, and then we'll just carry it to your van. So we get over there, and we're both moving in, and finally we grab hold of it, and we're wrestling with it, and we're trying to get its feet off the ground. So we end up working together and kind of lifting it up in the air. Well, then his big feet are just, like, punching off straight out.
They were
wrestling with us a little bit. We end up carrying it, and it was quite a struggle, probably 70 yards or so of his van.
Uh-huh.
And as we're carrying it, we're struggling the whole way. We fell over once, and we had to kind of wiggle back up and keep her from running off. And we get back up, he had a minivan, so the back hatch is open. So we finally get it in the back of his minivan and close the tailgate. And he's like, oh, thank you so much, man. I'm like, no need for thanks. I'm glad we got her contained, but you got to get her to her pen as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I don't want her to tear up your van or get hurt. But actually, once we got her in the van and closed the door and backed off, she actually kind of just kind of stood there. So I don't know if the whole docile thing just takes a while to kick in or what. And that was it. You know, I went home and was telling all my family and friends for our deer group, and we're all laughing, and they're like, you need to put that on social media. You need to put that on Facebook. People get a kick out of it. So I'm like, okay, why not? That's funny. So I eventually wrote up the story when I had some time, and kind of blew up. I mean, people got a kick out of it. There's a lot of entertaining. And actually, just yesterday, I got a message from a lady that was hunting somewhere. I don't know where. But she was sitting in a blind with her daughter, and they hadn't seen any deer all day. And they were actually just getting ready to pack up, but she came across the story. So she read the story, kept them in the stand just long enough that right to they got to the end, they were laughing about the story and stuff. And right when they got to the end, they see two does come in, and her daughter ended up harvesting two does because they stayed in the stand to read the story, which is pretty awesome.
The emu and the story about the emu helped harvest three deer this year for deer hunters.
Yep, that's correct. That we know of, yeah.
Amazing. Well, Asher, I don't know how you'll beat this one.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Never expected that something like that.
And as far as you know, the emu is safe and sound back home, wherever home is?
Yes, later in the day, actually, that same day that we recovered her, I got a message from the owner thanking me for helping getting her back home and stuff.
Yeah.
But then I posted it on social media, and I didn't even know the emu's name. She actually was messing with me then. Everything's good with the emu, and her name is actually Limu.
Uh-huh.
L-I-M-U, so pretty cool.
There you go. Well, Limu the emu helped you harvest a deer and gave you an entertaining 3 days of hunting. That's cool.
Sure did.
Asher Torbeck with a great story, hunting deer with the aid of an emu. Can you top that one? I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of Lake Link's features are yours to use free of charge. And members get access to Lake Link's online lake map library, lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake, and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and a whole lot more. You can also listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or even sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up right here. Just type in the keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. Find out what's up with them on their Facebook page or their website for more details. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford, huntworthgear.com. And by Ducks Unlimited, the world's leader in wetlands conservation, a proud sponsor of Outdoors Radio and duck hunters everywhere at ducks.org.
And by the way, what's going on at Cedar Lake Sales now that the everybody's boat is winterized or should be? They've got Christmas gifts for boaters, and they've got plenty in stock. You can save on life jackets, FloFast, T-shirts, floating pads, and you get a free hat with a gift card purchase. So check it out, cedarlakesales.com. And if our TV show, Outdoor Wisconsin, is not airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And our Deer Hunt Wisconsin show is archived, as always, on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin YouTube channel. And you'll find a link to it on my Facebook page, and we will have a message up there as well. We have already got a number of photos and videos sent to us by successful hunters and some unsuccessful ones as well. So if you've got photos of your hunt, and I've got a couple from Jeff and Robert, their hunt, send them to us. I'll have a link on my Facebook page. We might use them on a future Deer Hunt Wisconsin show.
Very cool. Well, if you missed anything on today's show, as we talked about a whole bunch of stuff, you can always go back and listen to it again. Or if you're just joining us late and you want to hear the whole show, go ahead over to lake-link.com. Scroll down to the bottom of their page. You can find the Outdoor Radio link right there. You can click on it. You'll find our show, download it, and take it with you throughout the week. You can also find Dan on social media at Dan Small Outdoors. Find me at Hardwater Jeff.
And a few calendar items this week. The deer donation program is still up and running, and you can find information on the deer donation program on the DNR website. And the state park stickers and park and trail passes are available now. If you don't buy the conservation patron license, if you buy them individually, they are available, and they're good from the date of purchase through December 31st of next year. And if you happened to run across a bear den while you were out there deer hunting, or anytime you're in the woods, the DNR research team would like to know where it's located. They are looking for bear dens so they can put collars on the sows and determine litter size and cub survival. And they're also looking at what connection there might be to the bear's affinity to human food, like garbage cans and bird feeders and bait piles and stuff like that. What's the connection between that and litter size and survival? And speaking of bears, the deadline to apply for bear permits is December 10th. It's coming up. And also spring turkey. Jeff and I have got to remember to do that if he hasn't already done it.
Yeah, I got to do it for Robert, myself, and myself. I was actually just thinking about that the other night, of how I was going to, you know, what seasons for what and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're a Lake Superior lake trout angler, you probably know this already. The season opens December 1st, and so that is going on now. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. You can hear more of his tunes at warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small. I'm here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend, and remember, muzzleloader's still going on. Then there's the antlerless hunt, and eventually the holiday hunt. So wear blaze orange if you're outside, at least through December 11th and then over the holidays as well. And be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
My lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner.
Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10.06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game,
WFHR,
join the conversation.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned.